living by faith in Jesus alone.
The substance,
yes, sir,
is the currency of our kingdom. You know, you might have a lot of money, but if you have no faith, you are very poor in our kingdom, you know. But if you have a lot of faith and no money, you are very rich. So I'm so glad I'm speaking to millionaires and billionaires right here, people that are rich in faith. I would like to continue the Bible, the Sunday school class we had last Sunday. just to look into a few other things to see if the Lord would help us with that. So I would like to invite you to the book of John, chapter 16. We will read a verse there where Jesus speaks about the Spirit of Truth. John 16, verse 13. How be it, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Amen. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So that's the Spirit of Truth, which is the Holy Spirit. That when it comes, it's going to tell you things. It will lead you into all truth. And whatever the Spirit of Truth will hear, it will declare to you. So it's not what the Spirit of Truth heard many years ago, and then it declares that to you. But whatever it will hear today that the Father wants to speak to you about, it will declare to you. So it's a very active relationship that is not based on what happened many years ago and then it tells you that that is part of it. But every day the Spirit of Truth will hear something and declare it to you. To say, Brother Christopher, this and that. I was going to say something, but the Lord checked me. Now, let's read again in the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 verse 14. Oh, sorry. Yeah, that is right. Verse 8 rather. Romans 8 verse 28. Sorry. Oh my. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And many a time when we read this scripture, we stop right there and we quote it up to right there, which is really good because we all love God. So it's a portion of scripture that directly refers to you and to me. But I would like, by God's grace, to look again into this verse and show that it's not only referring to you and me alone that love the Lord, because there was a time we didn't love the Lord. We didn't know God. So how do you love someone you don't know? We didn't love God. We were just going about in our own lives. But when we look back now that we know God and we love him and we look back, we see how he was directing our lives even before we loved him. And it says, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So if you are called according to God's purpose, all things work together for good for you. Even before you loved God, it was working together for good. God was directing your life, leading you and guiding you as much as he wants to lead you and guide you, even after you have known him and you love him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning for your grace that has brought us into your house once more. Lord, we thank you for the week that has gone by. Father, how you have been with us every step of the way in the week, leading us and helping us and providing for our needs. And now here we are at the beginning of a new week, Lord. We are so grateful that we can start this week in commemoration of your rising from the dead. Lord, oh God, what a great thing. May it be that this morning you rise in our hearts once again, Lord, and lead us and guide us in the week to come. We commit, Father, this Sunday school into your hands. May you speak once more and help us, Father, that we may know how to be better citizens of thy kingdom. We commit it into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So looking at this topic of being led of God, last week we were looking to see how God leads his people through different ways and means. You know, God guides his people through the word, especially through the preaching of the word. You could be sitting there right now and something is mentioned and you don't know why. Even this week I got a call from a brother. He says, Brother Will, the other time when you did Sunday school, you mentioned and said the things you did when you were 19 years ago. And here you are 40 something and you're still condemning yourself over things that God forgave you many years ago. And the brother was like, Brother, that was exactly me. So God definitely speaks to people, even mainly through the preaching of the word. He guides his people when you are reading the scriptures. He can lead you into a scripture. I mean, it doesn't happen to me only, does it? That you wake up one morning and for some reason there's a song in your heart. How many can testify that that happens? Now, what happens to me, when I wake up and there's a song playing in my heart, I pick up my phone and put that song and I put it on repeat. And I let it play until I get what it is that God wants to speak to me. Many times it leads into another song and then maybe a scripture or a message. And before you know it, you are sitting there crying, fellowshipping with God. Because God wanted to fellowship with you. But if you wake up with a song in your heart and you ignore it, how can he lead you and guide you into all truth then? Because you are resisting. And God is a gentleman. He's not going to force you down a path. But he wants to lead you and you obey his leadership. And it says to obey is better than sacrifice. So when you obey and you obey and you obey, God leads you step by step by step into something. And we were looking last week to see that God's leadership of people, it's not a removed leadership. God did not say to Moses, there's trouble in Egypt. I want you to go bring my people. I want them here. Good luck. You go. He says, I've heard from heaven and I've come to deliver my people. Now you and me, we are going to Egypt and I'll lead you every step of the way. And we found out that God did that. He led them even when it seemed as if he was leading them somewhere, but he had to lead them to the Red Sea, and there's a mountain here and another mountain, and Pharaoh comes. He had to do that so that it could be said, these Egyptians that you see, you shall see them no more. It had to happen like that. God was leading and guiding his people, even down to the breakfast they were eating. God said, you shall take not more than what you can eat in the morning. You know, I mean, how were they going to walk through the wilderness when they were fat and just to loosen things up a little bit? But he does that too. And I do pray about things. I remember once when I was having heart trouble. Almost like any time I felt like I'm going to have a heart attack. And I mentioned it to Brother Maxwell when we were in the car coming from the airport one day. And he spoke something to me. And I took it as if God spoke to me through Brother Maxwell. And he says, hey, Brother Will, the prophet says an egg is the hardest thing you can eat on your heart, you know. And I stopped eating eggs. And I've been dandy ever since, you know, because God spoke to me to guide me what it is I should eat and what it is I should not eat. It might not be the case for you. So if you love your eggs, by all means, go ahead and eat them. And we were seeing how intimate his leadership of his people is. He wants to guide you every single day if you let him. God wants to guide you every single hour if you let him. You just have to be the one that lets him guide you, and you will see that God will do it. We saw, even in the story of Eliezer, how he was led of the Lord to the well where Rebekah was. And he even testified in the scripture, and he says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. God definitely led Eliezer every turn of that road until he came to the well where he met with Rebekah. But have you ever thought about Rebekah, how she was led of the Lord that morning? For her to come to the well in the attitude that she was in. Because it is not easy to get to a well and you meet a stranger and the stranger says, can you please give me water to drink? Now it's easy these days because the water is already packaged, you know. You just buy you a bottle there. I know when I went to my father-in-law's house when I was courting my wife, and they said that we need water, we need water. And they sent me to the well to get water. Coming from the well, it's a bit uphill to get to their homestead. Yeah, it's not easy. It's very hard. And I was pushing a wheelbarrow with buckets of water. So definitely, it's not something that is very easy. But Rebekah came to the well in a certain attitude that morning. And your attitude is affected by all the things that happen to you from the moment you wake up. There are certain people that we say, He woke up facing the wrong side of the bed today. He's just in a bad attitude. But Rebecca was in a very good attitude that day. And it says in the Bible, all things work together for good to them who love the Lord. And are called according to his purpose. She was called according to God's purpose because she was supposed to be bride for Isaac. Now, she wakes up that morning and the father comes and says, Rebecca, why didn't you do this, this and that? Do you think she would have been in a good attitude that morning? By no means. Even her brothers, she had many brothers, they would have spoken something out of 10 that could have easily thrown her off a good attitude, that by the time she gets to the well, if she gets to the well even at all, then she wouldn't be in a good attitude to respond to this stranger in the way that she did. So if you begin to think of those kind of things and unpack it a little bit, you begin to see that everything that happened to Rebecca that morning, God was influencing even the people around her to speak kindly with her. God was influencing her in her heart to be kind to other people. God definitely led Rebecca to that well in that morning. So there are many more examples that we could call upon to show this statement of the leadership of God, that it is a very, very intimate and involved leadership. Now, it says in the book of John where we read, John 16, that the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will lead you, rather, into all truth, which is the same thing. To lead someone is to guide someone. And I think I did mention last week that when we think of this scripture, we are talking about the truths about baptism, the truth about serpent seed, the truth about the Holy Ghost, the new birth, and all these things are true, but the key word there is all truth. Because the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So for your salvation, when you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, it is the truth. It will set you free. But guess what? You need more than that truth. Because there was a woman in a church, and a faith healer came to church, and he was praying for people in that church, and he looked at the woman and discerned the woman, and he says, you are a witch. And she was not a witch. The prophet speaks about it. I mean, he prays about it. If you go on YouTube and look for, I think it's called the 20th century prophet, when he's doing the prayer line, this woman comes in the prayer line. And he discerns the woman, and he says that somebody said a lie about you. And it got you all worked up and worried until you begin to have heart problems because of the worry. So when this man says to this woman, you are a witch, it started off something. Not only in this woman, he says, even in your whole church, this thing has caused a stir until even your pastor is sick. And you see how serious these things can be. But then the prophet looks at her and he tells her the truth. And she was set free. He says, you are not a witch. That was the truth. That is what that woman needed. And she walked away free, rejoicing in the Lord. The pastor, I'm sure, got healed because the truth delivered them. So it isn't only about your salvation. It is the truth about everything that will ever happen in your life. God wants you to know the truth about who you are going to marry. Who here believes marriage belongs to the Lord? You know? You can go out there and choose for yourself a wife. That's fine. And we'll meet you one day in your house when the when the troubles begin. But if you let God show you the truth of who's going to be my wife, who's going to be my husband, you're going to knock off a lot of troubles that you can store for yourself in the future if you let God lead you and guide you in these important matters. And it says that he will guide you into all truth, and he will also show you things to come. Now, we can think about the coming of the Lord. God is going to show us. The coming of the prophet, he showed us. A lot of those big things, God will show us. But it says he will show you things to come. They are more than just the coming of the Lord. God wants to show you things that are going to come in your life today. Who believes that? I mean, does it happen to me only? that when I'm driving the car down the road and the Lord shows me things to come in the car and he says, reduce your speed. And I reduce my speed. Then just down the bend, there's been an accident. And I say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Now he's never said to me, reduce your speed. And I reduce and then down the road, there's a traffic camera. Because I don't go over the speed limit. But he does that to a lot of people. They can testify today that the Lord spoke to me to say, reduce your speed. And I didn't reduce the speed and there was a traffic camera. And I got a ticket and penalty points. Then you condemn yourself for not listening to God. So you can see that God wants to be intimately involved with you. Even down to you driving the car down the road, he wants to influence you. He wants to speak with you to help you down the road. So definitely he will show you things to come. There's a story that happened in Zimbabwe. I hope that I have time to mention it. I think I posted it on the church group a few weeks ago. It happened to this brother who was coming from city center to go back to his village, which really is not so far from town. And normally in Zimbabwe, when you get those minibuses, depending on what time you get it, the conductor, the guy who collects the money, they inflate the price. So it's 50 cents, but at some times they say $1. So this brother gets in there and he says, how much is it to get me to this place? They said $1. He says, no, I'm paying 50 cents. And they started to argue, but because they needed him to get more clients, he sits in there, you know what I mean, from Africa. And they drive around, and then the car is full, and they are going, and he starts collecting money in the car, in the minibus. And this man says, I am not paying $1, I'm paying 50 cents. And it was at night. And they continued on arguing until the driver of that minibus decided to stop the minibus by the roadside, and he agreed with the conductor to get this man off this minibus. Says, no, he's not going with us. They decided to leave him in the middle of nowhere at night. And him, he had the money, but there was something in him that was pushing him not to pay for that $1. He refused to pay that $1, so he also got off, regardless of thinking about the danger that it could be to his life. He decided, I will not pay that extra 50 cents. I would rather be left here by the roadside. And he got off. And that minibus left, went. Immediately, another minibus came. And he jumped in and he says, I have 50 cents to pay. They said, yeah, sure. And they went down a few hundred meters, less than 300 meters. Accident. A truck, the dust, what they call it, the dust bomb or something, broke. And it went up like this and smashed that minibus where this man was and crushed no single survivor. He got there, and the moment he got there, he was like, what? And they ran out. He went and began to try to pull people out of that. Every one of them dead. And he began to cry. People were like, what are you crying for? He says, I was in this minibus. Now you tell me. This man is a message believer that I'm speaking about. You tell me, what is it that pushed him to not pay that 50 cents? What pushed this driver and this conductor to forsake a man by the roadside just for the sake of 50 cents? You tell me that God doesn't lead people, I'll say no. You are too late, because he does for me. And I've seen enough to know that God leads and guides people if you let him. If you are sensitive to his leadership, God will do it. We read in the book of Acts chapter, we didn't read that. Acts chapter 27, Hallelujah. It speaks about Paul when he was being sent over to Rome. If you can open for me, Acts 27 verse 9. We'll read there and summarize the story. From verse 9 it says, now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already passed, Paul admonished them. So Paul was in a boat, and he had been jailed, and one of these people that was entrusted to bring Paul to Rome, he had chosen a ship to say, we'll sail to Rome in this ship. And they get in this ship, and it was not an easy journey, that first part of the ship. Now, when they come to this place, it says that Paul admonished them and said unto them, says, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. But these people, if you continue reading the next verse, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And I think the centurion had good reason, because the master of the ship must have sailed through these parts many, many times. He was a person who was really experienced in handling his ship to sail it safely. So they didn't listen to Paul, but instead they listened to this master of the ship and they continued sailing. And we know the story. If you go to the next verse, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, it was not a comfortable place to spend winter, so they thought, let's go forward. It's better to go over there to Crete, which is a bit better than this place because winter is coming. So they were looking at all these conditions and the experience of this master of the ship, and they didn't listen to Paul. Why? Because Paul was not a boatsman. He didn't have experience, but Paul had said to them, I perceive that this journey will be full of danger. He had perception of something. What is to perceive? To perceive is to gain awareness or knowledge of a situation. And you gain that through your senses. And I want you to capture this. You gain perception through your senses. Right now I walked to the pulpit and there was a bottle of water. I didn't touch it. I didn't test it. I didn't even read, but I looked and I could see through my sense that this is a bottle. And by that, I gained knowledge that there is water in the bottle. Now, if this bottle was condensing outside, I could gain even more information just by seeing the condensation on the outside. Then I would perceive that the water in this bottle is colder than the room temperature. But if it was open and there was mist coming out of it, I could perceive and say, the water in that bottle is very hot. So by our senses, we gain perception of things. Now, how many senses do we have? Six, brother, not five. We have six senses. These five are okay. They help us contact and perceive things on this earth. But we have a super sense that is more superior than any of the senses that we could ever have. If you read again in the book of Acts, it never said the angel of the Lord stood by Paul and told him that this journey will be full of danger. It says Paul perceived. And I would put it to you that his perception was more than just a hunch, a feeling. It was a perception that came out of a super sense. And that super sense is faith. He perceived things through faith and gained knowledge of the journey that was going to happen ahead. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. And so, he says, I perceive, and if you look again, sister, in the previous verse, where Paul says, verse 10, I think, that his perception, it was actually a very detailed perception. It wasn't just a hunch to say, no, guys, I don't want to go this time. Without exactly knowing, that's a perception that comes out of your fears. There's a perception that comes out of your desire. Say, I could do this investment. I think I'll make money. But when you have a perception that comes out of the super sense, it doesn't matter whether it makes sense to people or not. You can't be moved because God has already showed you things to come. And it says his perception was that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Look how specific it is. Not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Did it happen? Yes. And he told them, you should have listened to me. You should have listened to me. But don't worry, because last night an angel came to me. That's why in this place where he perceived, the angel did not come to Paul. He was a man just like you and me. He had perception out of the super sense, and he could perceive the situation. But after, when the angel came, he spoke about it, and he says, the angel of the Lord stood with me. So I'm not talking about the angel of the Lord coming to you. It has never come to me. But I've sure been used by God's perception through my super sense. Amen. The week before last, for some reason, Sister Charlotte is not here. She'll forgive me for saying this, but I'm sure she would share the testimony. For some reason, she came on my mind. And I was like, Lord, I don't know why I'm bothered about Sister Charlotte. What I will do, because I've been trying to help the sister with her papers to get her nursing papers so she can practice as a nurse. I said, what I'll do is I will pray for the sister, but I will speak to her on Sunday to encourage her, because I knew her situation intimately. Hallelujah. Of all the blocks that are causing her not to get her papers. So we come to church last Sunday, and I go out there after church, and I happen to be standing out there with Brother George. We were talking about something. I can't remember what it was. Then Sister Charlotte came. God bless you, brother. God bless you. And I said, sister, how are you? It's very strange, but last week you were so much on my mind, and I had made a mental note to see you today to say to you, sister, be of a good courage. Before she answered, Brother George says, that's very strange, Brother Will. This last week, she was on my mind so much, and I was praying for her always. And he said, sister, be of good courage. And I said, how are your papers, sister? Have you got any response from NMBI? This is the board that registers nurses here. She says, the last email they sent me, they said to me, okay, because she can't get some papers from Zimbabwe. You have to have those papers to be registered here as a nurse. So she says, they said, okay, you can't get those papers, we'll just wait. And she looked very disappointed. And I said, I lifted up my hand. I said, sister, the Lord never fails. Amen. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. He will never fail you, sister. Amen. She says, yeah, I'm thinking of contacting this lawyer in Zimbabwe to see if he can fight for me to get those papers. I didn't say anything about that. I just repeated, I said, sister, the Lord will not fail you. Hallelujah. And she walked away and she went. Yesterday, she sent me a message. She got an email on Saturday from the NMBI. Yesterday, it happened. And they said, since you can't provide your documents from Zimbabwe, come to our offices this coming Friday and sign this document, and we will give you your papers to practice as a nurse. Now, you tell me that God does not lead people, and I will say, no, sir. God leads people. He wanted me and Brother George to meet sister. He knew that on Sunday we would be standing together there to meet the sister. And he put that burden on me and on Brother George to strengthen the sister. I'm sure when she comes, she will give a testimony. Won't you want to be led of the Lord like that? Don't you feel that you are living so much under your privileges by not letting God lead you and guide you? This was a hard week for me. I got many messages. I'm sorry, Sister Susan. I meant to speak to you before church. You know what I'm going to say. I received many messages from people encouraging. Brother Will, thank you for this. Some people called me. Thank you for this, brother, and so forth. And it was mighty encouraging. And I was working, and I had planned this other project. This project, we have been running it for about 8 months now. It's for a huge global company, and they have about 200 sites all over the world. And they are connected, every one of them. So what we did is to build a new network, connect it to the old, and we are moving every one of those sites to the new site. When it's done, we destroy the old network. And we're about 70% done. Everything has been going smoothly because of the leadership of the Lord. And I can tell you a lot of things about that. But on Thursday, we were supposed to do another migration. And Azure, if those who know about IT, had issues. So we couldn't do it then. It was pushed to Friday. And I said, I don't like to do things on a Friday when I have to do a cottage prayer meeting. But what can I do? This one is out of my hands. Then Friday come. My wife is at work. Kids are home. And I do this migration with people. Failed. Try again. Failed. I was so discouraged. I mean, God made me in a certain way. Maybe you are not like that. But I'm the guy. everything has to go according to plan. If just one thing does not go, if I go in the kitchen to make dinner, I make sure that every single cup and spoon is clean before I start cooking dinner. I'm just like that. So it so discouraged me. And we had to make a decision to roll it back and connect this site to the old network. I was disappointed. I said, Lord, why, Lord, did this have to happen? And I'm in that kind of a way that I quickly become very depressed. And I could feel it coming on me, the depression. And I got up, went to the kitchen. Okay, the saints are coming to our house for prayer meeting tonight. Let me start cooking something for them to eat when they leave. I call the girls. Hannah, you are cooking this. Hadassah, you are cooking this. I'm cooking this. I start to cook. I go to my office again, try to make sense of things. I come back. The pot is bent. I said, Lord, what is going on? I take it off. I try and fix the things again, clean the pot, put everything back, boil it again, go to the work office. I come back. It's bent again. You won't believe it, but I went to sit in the sitting room. I said, Lord, I'm a complete failure. Why? I can't even cook dinner now. This project has failed. The topic I have for the cottage prayer meeting today, it seems like it's not an appropriate topic. I don't know what to do. The people are on the way now. I can't text them to say now, tonight we are going to stream, because it was me who was going to stream the services to people. I can't call Brother Eli out of nowhere and tell him we are streaming tonight. God, what have I done? Hezekiah walks into the room. And I'm so discouraged and says, Daddy, Daddy, let's go and play outside. I said, son, I can't go and play outside. And he says, Daddy, are you okay? I said, I'm not okay. He says, Daddy, I'll get you a flower. So he got me a flower and he says, I'll put it in your office, Daddy. And he did. And when he put the flower, I had left my phone in the office, so he came with my phone. And he says, Daddy, here's your phone. He was trying to cheer me up. So I sat there and I prayed. I said, Lord, I can't even play with my own son. It hurt me so much that I can't even play with him. And as I was sitting there, I said, Lord, I can't do the cottage prayer meeting like this. You have to help me tonight. Because the people are coming to my house, and what will I say to them? You've got to encourage me in some way. And as soon, I didn't even say amen. My phone rang, and I looked. It was a message from Sister Susan. I haven't spoken to Sister Susan on WhatsApp since February. Was the last message we communicated when you went to Qatar, and I was saying, Sister, I hope you got there safe. I hope Brother Shelton is okay. And I open, and if you would forgive me, sister, but I would like to read this message. Amen. I should have said it to you. God bless you, Brother Wilmo. I just want to say to you, thank you. God bless you. For Sunday school service last week, it really encouraged me and helped me to be more intentional in seeking the leadership of the Lord in my day-to-day life this week. May God richly bless you and your family. And I replied to the sister. I said, I'm truly thankful to the Lord, Sister Susan, for your message. I don't think she knew what I meant. But this is what I meant. Because there was nothing else that was going to encourage me at that time. But God knew what could encourage me. She didn't send me this message on Monday or Tuesday, as many people do, and it's good. But there was something that influenced Sister Susan on Friday. Hallelujah. She had spent the whole week praying intentionally to say, Lord, I want you to lead me and guide me every day of my life. Hallelujah. And because of that intentional prayer, when it came to a time where the enemy had got the better of me at that moment, God led Sister Susan. This is what we are talking about. He definitely, I don't know what made her to send me that message at that time, But I fully believe it was God who influenced the sister at that very moment to text this message in the way that she texted. And it came to me. It was exactly what I needed for that moment. Don't you want to be led of the Lord like that? Don't you want people to be led of God to minister to you in a way like that too? God wants to lead his people. He wants to guide you every single day, and I would dare say every single hour, every single minute. Jesus says, when you go before the courts, think not what you will say, because it will be given to you the moment that you need it. So God is definitely interested in leading and guiding you if you let him, if you seek him every day and say, Lord, you lead me, you guide me, and you let him, you'll see what God can do for you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your kindness. Let your name be glorified this morning. Lord, even as we speak of this topic, Lord, of the leadership of God in our lives, this is what we want, Lord. Father, we want the song leader to get up here this morning and be led of you, Lord. For every song that he will choose to sing, let it be your influence, Father, that will influence him to sing songs that you want to be sung this morning. Even the tune that you want it to be sung, Lord, influence the minister as you stand before us to speak your word the way you want it spoken this morning. For we believe in your leadership, Lord, and we are submitting ourselves fully to it, Lord. May you guide us and lead us in every aspect of our lives, in the decisions that we have to make, Lord, in the phone calls we make, in the people we visit, everything, Lord. We know that you want to lead us, and we submit ourselves to that leadership. May you grant us grace now this morning. Lord, I commit the service into your hands. May you come and minister to us, Lord. Bless those that are not here with us, our pastor and his wife. May you be with them, even our dear brother Dube and his family. Away, Lord, be with them. And all that are not here, Lord, we commit them into your hands. May you bless them as much as you will bless us here this morning. We ask it for your glory, Lord, in the name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.